Welcome to CWH. I'm Mike Salem. My dad preached the Bible, the Word of God, to glorify God, to bring the lost to Jesus, and to comfort people. In today's message, When We Pray, Dad reveals what God teaches us about prayer.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm always happy when the weekends come, because then we're going to get together all over the world. And I just can't imagine what you look like and where you live and all. But if you put your faith in Jesus, just a simple faith in Jesus, I'm going to see you in heaven. And won't we have a wonderful time? And we'll worship the dear Lord Jesus, and we'll know each other. Will we know each other in heaven? You bet we will. And so you just rejoice as we worship the Lord together all over the world. Well, we're going to be preaching about prayer today, and everybody's interested in prayer. And so that's what we're going to look at. But first of all, I want to share some of the letters that we get. We get so many good letters. And so the first one comes from Columbia, Missouri. Listen to this. My 98-and-a-half-year-old mother is somewhat frail, unable to attend church services anymore. Your program has been a godsend. It allows her to worship in the comfort of her living room. Your nonpartisan, God, Jesus-oriented sermons are a relief from those espoused by many of our modern-day politically correct pastors. Keep up the good work. Well, yes, you bet they're politically correct. I wouldn't know how to be. I'm 97 years old, and I come from not only a different generation, but a different century. And I don't know what it's like to be politically correct. I know what it's like to be biblically correct, and that's all we're concerned about. But to this dear mother, I want to share a verse with her. It's in Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 4, where God says, I will be your God through all your lifetime. Yes, even when your hair is white with age. I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along and be your savior. Isaiah 46, verse 4. And, you know, we talk about Jesus carrying little lambs. That's right, he does. But he carries the old gray heads too. And I know what that's like because I'm in that bunch. And boy, do I need the Lord. Every breath I take, I need Jesus. Here's Lincoln, Nebraska. Recently, my husband and I were visiting with the local pastor about attending church. We told him we watched the Christian Worship Hour every week. The pastor then stated that all TV preachers were false prophets. We politely told him we didn't agree with that statement and we ended the visit. But just in case he's right, you might want to watch out for them TV preachers. So, well, I tell you, this pastor's right in a way. There are some of these false prophets. I heard one of them the other night. I couldn't sleep. I sleep just wonderfully, but I woke up, 11:30, something like that. And he was carrying on about raising money and sending money. And if he wasn't a thief in the sheep's clothing, I never saw one. And when I heard him, I wanted to go out and get a bucket because I thought I was going to throw up. Well, God's going to judge those people. But by the same token, there are a lot of good men and women who love the Lord, and they're preaching the Bible. And you ought to pray for them. You ought to support them. And you ought to support your church. And be in church if there's any possible way. Be in church and support your church. And don't go to church to see what you can get. Go to see what you can give. And then let's see. Here's another one. Oh, I've got to read this one. Belfouche, South Dakota, that is my hometown. They won't claim me, but I claim them. And that's a beautiful town. It's a beautiful country, and it's up of the Black Hills, and it's just wonderful. And I've got a lot of wonderful memories of people, of the folks in Belfouche, and a lot of them right now, but I don't know many. I've been gone about 60 years. So most of them are, my friends are both all gone, but I love that country, Belfouche. And listen to what he writes. He says, for the past 30 years, I've hesitated to support this ministry, figuring it can't last much longer. I almost fell over. But he says, I was wrong. You may never quit, so here's a check. And I'm going to tell you something. We never say how much people send in. But this man sent a sizable check. And I just chuckled when he says, he is waiting to see if we was going to fold up. Well, we're in our 40th year. Now he sent his gift, and tomorrow maybe we'll fold up. Now, wouldn't that be something? But we won't fold up till God says close it. When he says close it, we'll close it. And so we're just depending on God's people. We have no other source of income from God's people. I'll talk about that at the end of the service. You get your pencil and paper ready because you'll want to write to us. Maybe you have a question. And then we will also have a little Bible study called The New Song. And this month it's all about how that we have how the harvest is so great and we need workers. And I know you'll like it. And then we have a special film, The Heart of a Shepherd. And it's an hour long, and it's one for soul winning. So you'll want that. Let me read it. Oh, here it talks about it. Wichita, Kansas. Please send me 2 Heart of a Shepherd DVDs. I make a monthly contribution because your ministry is vitally important and a wonderful mission statement. Have been watching for 5 years on Wichita, Kansas station. It's the highlight of the week. Pastor and staff are all done my daily prayers. Thank you for your dedication to God's work. And so if you word, God's word. So if you want to get this film, Heart of a Shepherd, you get your pencil and paper ready. We'll talk about that later. Give you the address. And if you want to send a gift to help us, we need that too. You have to have your prayers, have to have your gifts. But we want to preach about prayer. That's wonderful prayer. And I put it down like this. Supposing you were to win a big prize, and the likes of which could not be money, but you could be anything that you could talk to anyone, anywhere in all the world. No money involved, but you can talk to someone. Who would you talk to? Well, I know what the Christians would say. I want to talk to God. I want to talk to God. You know, I think there's a lot of people who want to talk to God. Even those who don't even know Jesus, I do want to talk to God because I made it. There's in my heart, there's a yearning. That's what we're going to talk about, talking with God. And the first step to talk to God is to pray, to ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins. Because the Bible says, we know the Bible says, God doesn't hear sinners. The only sinners pray, only sinner he'll listen to is when you make that prayer, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you and I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take them away. And I'll turn from my evil ways the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. That's your prayer. And when you pray that, you become a child of God. And the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. And you're deader than a mackerel spiritually. And you make that prayer and you're alive in Jesus. See? And so you make that prayer. When you make that prayer, then Jesus tells us how to pray. He says in Matthew 6, verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And so he's just telling us, now you, when you want to speak, you're talking to God, you just to go and you have the, and have this time of prayer. And he says, shut thy door and then pray to the Lord Jesus. And you see what he's telling us, is to get away and have your own time when you pray and talk to the Lord Jesus. And when we pray, Jesus becomes our high priest in heaven, and he prays for us and intercedes for us. We're told that in verse 14 to 16, this high priest is ours, and he understands, and he says, so let us come boldly to the very throne of God, and stay there to receive his mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the problem is that many of us don't pray, or we get so busy we don't pray. And so Jesus says, I want you, if you're my child, I want you to pray. I want you to talk to me. And so when you pray, he says, go into your closet. And when he talks about that, he's just saying, when thou prayest, you go into your closet. So when thou prayest means there needs to be a time. Set a time when you're going to have to talk to the Lord in prayer. Now, you can talk to the Lord in prayer anywhere at any time. We're going to look at that in a minute. But there ought to be that one special time when you get alone with God and you read that holy book, the Bible, and you talk to God. Every day, you ought to fight for that time. And he says, when you pray, so have a time. And you could pray at any time, just so you do have a time. But find a time when you can pray and go to the Lord in prayer. And when you do that, we should pray often. And so that every day, go to the Lord and have that time of prayer. My special time is in the morning, and I get when I got to my study and nobody's there yet, and I can read my Bible and I can pray. That's just, this comes as the same as eating breakfast, as I have that time of prayer. And you can do the same thing. Maybe you're not a morning person. Maybe you're an afternoon person. My wife was more in the afternoon. So whenever you want, you find your time. But I like it in the morning because I got the whole day ahead of me. And I don't know what's going to happen during that day. No idea. And so I knew I just have to touch with the Lord. And I'm asking him to guide, give me direct. And we should pray. We should pray. Oh, we should pray any time you want, really. And some people say, well, I don't know when I should pray. You just pray whenever you can and whenever you feel like it. We should pray in the morning. We should pray all night. We should pray at all the meals. We should pray at all times. We should be always in an attitude of prayer. And the Bible says, pray without ceasing. So that means we ought to all be so that our next breath we could be with Jesus. So wherever you are, maybe you're in a situation that you're just thrust into it and you don't know what to do, and you just talk to Jesus, Jesus, help me. I don't know what to do here. What am I supposed to do? Help me to figure this out. And the wonderful Holy Spirit, he'll help you, and he'll give you direction and guidance. And so this, what we have to do is be sure that we're people of prayer. So there is no set time, but just be sure that you have time. The story is told in the New Testament about the Christians, the early Christians. And I just made a little study. In the book of Acts alone, the early Christians, the believers prayed for guidance in making decisions, Acts 1, verses 15 to 26. They prayed for prayer was a normal part of their daily ministry, Acts 2, 42 to 47. Stephen prayed as he was being stoned, Acts 7, verse 55. Peter and John prayed for the Samaritans, Acts 8. Saul of Tarsus prayed after his conversion. Peter prayed before he raised Dorcas from the dead. Cornelius prayed that God would show him and how to be saved. Peter was on the housetop praying that God would tell him how to answer Cornelius' prayers on how to be saved. The believers in John Mark's house prayed for Peter when he was in prison. And the Lord delivered him both, him and John Mark. They prayed for the deliverance from the prison in Acts 12, verses 1 to 11. The church prayed at Antioch. The church prayed at the meeting at Philippi. It's filled with prayer. That's the book of Acts alone. There were people of prayer. You have to have a connection with God. If you don't, you'll drift. And if you don't talk to God, then you're going to run out. You're going to run low. And you're not going to have the strength that you need. So be people of prayer. Sometimes he took the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, into Gethsemane. He took his disciples up in there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they talked with Moses and Elijah. Always was times of prayer. And then with the prayer, meditate. Just stop. And don't think about a thing. Just try to make your mind as blank as you can and just listen for God. And I never, I've 70, in 87 years, I've never heard God speak to me audibly or seen any lights or had any visions, none of that. But there's just, he'll just know. You'll just feel it. You can just know that that wonderful Lord Jesus is there. And so meditate and spend time and think about God. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Maybe you don't know which way to go. Maybe there's a decision you make, a big decision. You don't know what to do. Meditate and just enter into the closet. Enter into your room. Enter into some private place and pray to this dear Lord Jesus so that you can have strength and help and guidance. And he'll never fail you. And you'll just feel, yeah, this is right. And maybe you won't even explain why. But yes, this is the way. This is what God wants me to do. And if you're open to God, he'll be open to you. I can tell you that. And then it says, enter into thy closet. So he prays at all these special places. But we can pray also at all times and places. It doesn't matter where we are. In Matthew 6, verse 6, Jesus said, enter into a chamber. Matthew 14, 23, pray amid nature. John 17, 1, pray in church. Acts 16, 25, pray before the unsaved. 1 Timothy 2, 8, pray at all times. While driving down the road, pray, keep your eyeballs open, of course. I hope I don't have to explain that to you. But you can talk to the Lord while you're driving down the road. It's a wonderful time. Sometimes you're alone. Jesus prayed on the hillside. He prayed in the garden. Peter prayed on the housetop. General George Washington retired daily as to the vicinity at camp where he could pray at Valley Forge. And he prayed every day. The father of a country of the United States of America. And there was a late General Gordon who put a sign on his tent in the military indicating he wished to have privacy. Any place will do, just so you do it. And then I got a letter not long ago about the posture. What should the posture be? Do I have to kneel to pray? And so it's not the posture, it's the attitude. And some people can pray standing. Some people can pray sitting. Jesus stood and prayed. Jesus also knelt in prayer. At one time, Jesus fell on his face in prayer. Once at least, Jesus was prone upon the ground when he prayed. Solomon knelt as he prayed. Elijah prayed with his elbow on his knees and his face buried in his hands. David prayed lying on a bed, and that's all right, but watch out about sleep. Peter prayed on the water, walking on the water, and he prayed. The dying thief was on the cross when he prayed. Posture doesn't matter, but I do like kneeling, but I don't kneel anymore. Because I can kneel, but I can't get up. And so God knows that, but I just think there's something reverent and nice about just kneeling down, talking to God, talking to Jesus. Paul prayed. And look at Paul. Where did he pray? He prayed in the midst of a storm. He prayed for God's blessing. After the storm, he prayed that God would heal a sick man. In almost every chapter of Acts, you find a reference to prayer. The early Christians were bathed in prayer. So the prayer answer to that, the period of prayer, is any time, just so there is a time when you pray. Furthermore, Jesus said, we needed to pray sincerely. And he says, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have because you have need ask of them. And so it doesn't mean you can't repeat a prayer. There's some prayers I pray over and over and over. I know God wants people to be saved. Jesus, God, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter, he says that God is not willing that any should perish. All should come to repentance. And when I pray for the salvation of people, I'll pray it over and over and over as long as I live because I know that's God's will. But there may be other times it isn't God's will. But when he talks about vain reputation, he talks about babbling and about people that pray it so many times they don't even know what they're talking about. It means nothing to them. And they're like one man. And he prayed the same prayer every night. And finally, he got a bright idea. And he wrote his prayer out on a paper. And he hung it by the bed. And he got in bed and he says, Lord, there's my prayer. That's all it meant to him. So Jesus is saying, be sincere in your prayer. And always pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we must realize that God hears us and he loves us. And he's going to answer those prayers. But sometimes he has to say yeah. Sometimes you say yes. And sometimes you say no. And sometimes you say wait. But he will always answer those prayers. See? And it's because it says pray to your father. And it's like I'm talking to my dad. My dad was good-hearted. He didn't know Jesus for many years. But he was good-hearted, and he was kind to us, and was good to us. But and I could go to him, and if he had it, he'd do it for me. And I go to the Father. We pray to the Father. We pray through the Spirit, and we pray in the Spirit as the Spirit leads us. And then we pray through the Son, and we pray to the Father. Don't make it complicated. Just talk to God, just to the Father in heaven, and pray in Jesus' name, and pray, Thy will be done. It's impossible for God to do some things, because he says, for instance, here's two people, and they're a football team. Say they're going to be football teams, and they're Christian colleges, and they're both Christian colleges, and they're both praying to win. Now, whose prayers God's going to answer? Well, you probably say the best Christian. Well, you don't know that. There are a lot of other factors. There are so many things. There's eternity in view. How does it affect eternity? We don't have a ghost of an idea how it affects eternity. But God sees the whole picture all the way through. And so we pray, Your will be done. And when we make that prayer, oh, my dear Lord, He will hear us. And this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, He's our high priest now. And when we pray, we intercede to Him and ask Him to help us and ask Him to guide us. And the Lord Jesus will do that. He is there listening, and He is open to us, and He is kind-hearted. And Jesus is so wonderful. That's why I just wish you knew Him as your Savior. You just can't imagine how wonderful He is. And He is so beautiful when you get to know Him, when you see Him. And I'm going to tell you, I always say this to people. If you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know Jesus. You don't know Him. Because to know Him is to love Him. And when we go to Him in prayer, we talk to Him, and He's our great high priest. And we talk to Him, and He intercedes for us, and He prays for us. And sometimes we don't know how to pray. And so we just pray and then say, Thy will be done. And this wonderful Lord Jesus, He knows how we feel because He was one of us. He walked among us. It was God-man. He was unique. He was God and He was man in one body. And so He knows exactly how we feel when we're lonely, when we're deserted, when we're brokenhearted, when a loved one is taken. There's all of these things. And I think of the young people. Oh, we ought to pray for those young people, because they have decisions to make and temptations to face that we never, ever had. And when I went to high school in the 30s, 1930s, if you have it. Oh, we pray for them and the children. And I'm going to tell you, we have this film, The Heart of a Shepherd, Shepherd's Heart, and this wonderful people, the children, is that for a 10-year-old boy in that film accepts Jesus. And that film is made so the children can understand, and they can see that story, and they can hear about the coming to Jesus, and they can be born again. And so all of it is geared. And so we pray, and dear Jesus, You know where we're at. And that's why we always pray for those who are shut in, and we pray for the persecuted church, and we pray for those who are lonely, and all of these things, because there's power in prayer. And when we make these prayers, they always ask us, dear Lord Jesus. But the most important prayer to make of all is, well, if you're not a Christian, if you've never accepted Jesus, that is the key to it all. You have to have Jesus. And you say, dear Jesus, I just ask You to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll turn from them the best I can. I'll follow You, and thank You, Jesus. And when you make that prayer, He'll come into your heart. I remember talking to a little junior boy at camp one time, and I said, Keith, and Keith did pray to accept Jesus, and he's gone on to glory now. He's lived out his life. And I said, Keith, just ask Jesus into your heart. And he says, well, what if I ask Him to come in and He won't come in? I've only had that man ask one time, and that's been a long time ago, 1930s. And so when Jesus says in Rome, in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I'll fellowship with him. You open the door, he'll come in. That's the most important prayer. And then you talk to God, talk to him all the time. It'll get so you'll find joy in it. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. We have a website, christianworshiphour.com. It tells all about our ministry. You can read about us. You can get some of the sermons and devotions and such as that. And if you want to, you can send a gift because we have to have your help to carry on the work. And all of our money comes from God's people. And we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization, and they audit our books and study them, and everything is above board. Not one penny you give goes to anything except the preaching of the gospel and this ministry. So you write to us. Now I want to pray, and in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Turkey. So dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the multitudes that have come to you and opened their heart to you. Oh, we rejoice in that. And then, Lord, we pray for the persecuted church in Turkey and help them to know. Help them to know that we are praying and that you are with them and that they are an encouragement to us and they're a blessing to us and a challenge to us, and they're helping us live for Jesus because of their strength and their standing. Pray for those on beds of sickness and shut in. We pray for the young people making decisions and the children. Oh, the beautiful children, help them to come. Dear Lord, we just pray for each one in Jesus' name. Amen. So now I'm going to give it again for you, all you shut-in people, all of you on a shortwave. It's a Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And just remember this, our only source of income is God's people. We have to pay our way just like any other way. We're in our 40th year. God has never failed us a single time, and he won't fail us until our work is done, and then our source will dry up, and we'll dry up, and it's all in God's hands. So you write to us and pray for us as we pray for you, and then next week we'll all gather together. If the Lord tarries, he doesn't come back, we'll all get together around the throne of grace, and we'll worship the Lord. And there's one thing we want you to remember and never forget. God loves you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. I love you, and I want to see you in heaven. And I think I know I will if you just make that prayer, turn to Jesus. God bless you. God bless you, everyone, in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.